With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show here on Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel, where we bring rich takes to the poorly informed. All right, welcome back to another edition of Robin Hoop, the NBA Draft Show here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This week we're going to kind of just start jumping into testing the waters, I guess, of the 2021 class. But I also want to touch on the 2020 draft. We waited a little longer than I had originally anticipated to put this episode out, but I still think it has some good value, and that's why we're going to kind of touch on 2020 as well as a little bit on 2021. Now, taking a look at the 2020 draft, there's a number of teams that I do feel did a really good job. And what we ended up doing here on this show is I took the teams and I looked at how they drafted players versus my big board. And so what I did was, for example, if you drafted Denny Avdia, I gave you 60 points, just as an example, right? If you drafted, now the last guy on my big board, I did not go all the way to 60. I went to 57. When you're starting to get into the 50, like low 50s and kind of on, I think that it kind of muddies the waters a little bit. Even the guys in like some of the late 40s, you could probably, convince me that other guys are more deserving. I don't know. I just, once you start getting towards the back half, I do think there's a little bit, the waters get a little muddied, and I don't think it's an exact science necessarily, but the guys that did make my list, there's different reasons that I like each one of them, right? And so that's how we're going to do this is, again, Denny Avdia is going to be worth 60 points. And in this case, the last guy on board, Ashton Hagens, he would be worth, if someone drafted him, which in this case they did not, he's actually going to be a two-way prospect for the Timberwolves, which just to touch on that really briefly, since one of my favorite teams is the Timberwolves, I think that was a fantastic pick as a two-way prospect. There are a number of really solid UDFA grabs out of this class, I think, that some teams did a good job with. But Ashton Hagens, he would be worth 3 points. He'd be worth 4 points. So that's kind of how it works, if that makes sense. And you go from there. So we have two ways we're doing this. We are going to, we have them ranked by total. So the total amount of points you got from your draft class based on my board again. And then the average. So we take your total, divided by how many players you took, and go from there. So let's start it off. We're going to start off with the total, actually. And the number one team, just in terms of total, and this is not surprising, I think they just had an absolute home run of a draft, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers. So we'll start off. They had Tyrese Maxey. They took him at pick number 21. For anyone that's not aware of how much I like Tyrese Maxey, I had him going at 6. I mean, I have him at 6 on my... Now, this is not a mock draft that I did. This is my big board. But I had him as, the 6th best prospect in this class. So as you can imagine, it's good value, 55. And then you jump to their next pick. They got at 49, they got Isaiah Joe, which is absolutely crazy value. I think Isaiah Joe is a very, very good prospect. I had him 21st on my big board. So that nets them 40 points there. And then I think arguably the steal of the draft, they get at 58, Paul Reed. I am a huge Paul Reed fan. I had him at 23rd on my big board. And actually, he was higher at one point, and I still think there's a good chance he probably ends up valuing out better than that. But unfortunately, doesn't go to, you know, goes really late. Would have been nice to see him go to a team that maybe had some more minutes available. You wonder how much he's going to be used with the Sixers. It's just kind of a goofy fit, but great, great value. I think the Sixers knocked it out of the park. And, you know, when I look at the valuation here, obviously, based on my big board, it makes a lot of sense why I like it and why they're number one. Looking at the average, they are not number one according to average, actually. So, again, they had three players. If you take a look at their average, they do drop down to fifth. So their total, actually, if you look at their total overall, their total is 133 points based on this system. If you go by the average, it's 44. Or 44.3, repeating to be precise. So that is your team number one, the Philadelphia 76ers. Moving on down the totals list, we have the number two team, and that is the Pistons. Now, the Pistons, I think, did have a very solid draft. I do think that when you look at the where guys were drafted, I do think it was a reach to take Stewart at 16. I very much think that. It's a little goofy to me, but, you know, you like a guy. I will say this. One thing I really appreciate when it comes to any draft is a GM that says, this is the guy that I want, right? Whoever, if anyone hasn't seen it, the movie Draft Day, and in that movie he writes a name on a post-it note the morning of, and he says, no matter what, I want this guy. And when he's going through the draft and he's deciding things, he always goes back to that and says, no matter what happens, this is the guy I need to leave this draft with. I have to leave the draft with this prospect. And so I think the Pistons likely did that. Whereas I think with their first pick, when they took Hayes, I think with Killian Hayes, first of all, it's good value at seven, probably best player available at that point. You know, I had Killian Hayes fifth. I know some people had him as high as one. And some people that I very much trust as far as their opinions on the draft had him at pick number one or at number one on their draft board. So, you know, keep that in mind, that that's a solid pick at pick number seven. So that's good value there. And then Sadiq Bey, I think Sadiq Bey is fantastic value where they got him. He was at pick number 19. So again, it's Hayes at seven, Stewart at 16, and Bey at 19. Now, Bey gets him 41 points at that spot where they took him. Now, what's great about, you know, Sadiq Bey is a really, really good player. I had him right around there. I had him at 20th on my board. He goes 19th. So that's not surprising there. Now, if you look at Stewart, I was definitely not as high as they were. I had Stewart at 40 on my big board. And then, you know, we look at Hayes, again, was 5. So pretty good value for most of their picks. I don't love Stewart, but again, I do think that if you want a guy, you got to take him. All right, next up we have my favorite team, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Oh, by the way, before we move on, actually, so the Pistons, in terms of their value or their totals, so they're two in terms of the total, and that's 120 points. When you look at the average, the Pistons do drop quite a bit. They actually drop down all the way to 14th when you look at the average, and so that's just kind of interesting because if you take it, 120, they were one of the teams that drafted four players, and I haven't even gotten. You know, I didn't mean to disregard this player, but I didn't even have him ranked, and that was their fourth pick. So they were one of two teams that actually grabbed four players out of this draft class. And so, if you look at their fourth pick, what I ended up doing is anyone that I did not have ranked, what I did was I just gave them a value of two. So anyone that I was not ranking, they get 2 points for that team. And so they took Saben Lee. You know, here I don't have him ranked, and they took him 38th pick. He's the point guard out of Vanderbilt. I can't claim to have watched a lot of him, but they took some guys, obviously, they were very high on. Again, just because I'm not as high on them doesn't mean they're not going to be good prospects. They very well could be. So time will tell on that, but the Pistons obviously were a team that very much valued certain players, and they stuck to their guns. Now we take a look at, like I said, the Minnesota Timberwolves are next on the list. Minnesota Timberwolves, I think, had a fantastic draft. And in fact, I would add, just as an aside, make sure if you are a fan of the Timberwolves, take a look at my other radio show, The Howl. And we actually did a breakdown of the draft, how that worked for them, look ahead to the future, and then their offseason. I think they were one of the teams that really did a great job in terms of the offseason. And actually, on draft night, making that trade, they trade back, they get Ricky Rubio. They end up getting two different picks than the picks they normally had, I think was fantastic value here. And And you know what? The value chart agrees. Now, we start off with we'll start off with the totals, then we move to the draft average. So obviously at pick number one, they took Anthony Edwards. That gets them 57 points, as Anthony Edwards was fourth on my board. And then you had Bolmaro. Bolmaro is interesting. He's not going to play for at least a year, maybe two. I am a big Bolmaro fan, and I probably would have had him higher if it weren't for the fact that we pretty much knew that he was not going to be coming over right away. But also, he's a little bit of a project, right? A good defensive player, great footwork. There's lots to like about Leandro Bolmaro, but he does have some work to put in, and that's why he's not going to be coming over right away. But that's a good investment for the Timberwolves. They've already got a lot of young players. They don't need another young guy to bring in, right? And if you think about it this way, Bolmaro, the reason why this is such a great pick for the Timberwolves, as of right now, they don't have a pick in the draft next year. So that 2021, that's a really deep draft class. They don't have a pick. Now, if they can bring over Bolmaro next year, I think that helps soften that blow of not having a pick, because then they still get a nice young rookie, a nice piece to add to the core that they already have. Now, of course, things could change by 2021. There's so many things that could happen in terms of trades. I would not be shocked if they got some sort of a draft pick in that class. Time will tell, though. So, but again, Edwards at one, Bolmaro, they took him at 30. Sorry, I had him at 30. They took him at 23. That gets them 31 points. And then the next one they picked up at 28 was Jaden McDaniels. I do like Jaden McDaniels. Again, very similar to like what we talked about. He's a bit of a project, only in the sense that, I mean, he's got a lot of good tools. He's got one of the higher ceilings in the class, but he's got to get stronger, first and foremost. Does need to get stronger. So that's going to be part of it. He's a guy that's probably not going to play much in his rookie year. The Timberwolves are a young team, but they've got talent, and I don't think he's going to see the court much. But a lot of that's going to depend on injuries. It's going to depend on if there's COVID issues. There's lots of things to take into account in this interesting 2020-2021 season. So again, they're sitting at third, 117 total points. And then if you go to the draft average, taking a look at there, they're still pretty good. So they are ninth according to the draft average. When you take that, take into account the fact they drafted three guys, puts them at 39 points on average. Next up at the list, we start off with the totals again, and we have the Mavericks. The Mavericks had a fantastic draft. I love what they did. Now, Josh Green's interesting. I was higher on Josh Green in earlier boards, and I moved down on him just a bit. I mean, not a ton. I still like Josh Green. I think he's one of the best on-ball defenders in the draft, but he does have some work to do offensively, and that's why, to me, he dropped a little bit on my board. But still, that gets you 33 points, because I had Josh Green still with a first-round grade at 28, and then if you move to their next pick, Tyrell Terry, I mean, that's where they crushed it. I had him 12th on my board. Tyrell Terry is a fantastic prospect. Honestly, if it weren't for the strength issues that he had in college, I think he would have been drafted higher. But what teams probably realize, but maybe didn't give him enough credit for, he's already put on 20 pounds of muscle. Already done that in the offseason. And now you're adding that to what all the other strengths that he already possesses. Just a fantastic pick here. And, man, the rich get richer. The Mavs were already one of the better teams in the league. You got Luka Doncic. Now you're going to add in Josh Green, Tyrell Terry, which, by the way, he gets 49 points in terms of value. And then they get Tyler Bay at 34. Or sorry, Tyler Bay, they get him at 36. He's worth 34 points. Tyler Bay, another guy that I was very, very high on. I actually had him just one spot ahead at 27. So just one spot ahead of Josh Green. Fantastic draft by the Mavs. Very solid. That's why they're in the top five for the total points, according to my board. And then if you move on from there, they are 28. As far as their draft points on average, and that actually puts them, they do drop a little bit, but not bad. Still in the top 10, they are at number 10. So very solid performance for them. And actually, if we take a look at the total, or what they're at for, I should say the average, 38.6 repeating. Kind of an interesting number, but that's how it works with the division there. And so now we move on to the next team on our total list. Again, so far, these top five teams in terms of total, for the most part, did a very good job. Some of my favorite drafts, and that's not surprising. I'm a fan of them. They're going to be high on this because it's based on my big board. Next up, we have the Hornets. The Hornets had an interesting draft. I actually didn't love the Hornets, and their total actually puts them higher than I think they really should be. I love the ball pick. LaMelo Ball's a great player, but you know, you've got a lot of point guards already, right? There's already kind of a logjam there. And then on top of that, at 56, they grab Grant Riller. Grant Riller is kind of like we talked about with Paul Reed. Grant Riller is right up there with steals of the draft. Grant Riller is one of my favorite prospects. I had him 16th on my board. Think about that. I had him 16th. He goes 40 spots lower than that. So you can imagine the reason why these guys jump up as high as they do is because of that. Because let's not sit here and pretend like their middle picks were the things that made them a good draft. So Ball, of course, like I said, they took him at 3. I have LaMelo Ball. He was in that top tier for me. I had him at 3, actually. So it matched up. I had him at 3 in my big board. He went 3. Then you move on to Vernon Carey. Vernon Carey, it's not that I dislike Vernon Carey, but I dislike big men. In the modern NBA, they're very replaceable. And so I had him 54. And what did they end up doing? They took him 32. To me, it's just a little too early. But I know some people that had him in this range. So it's very possible that if you're the Hornets, you said to yourselves, right, we're hearing that there's some teams in this area that might go after him. We can't take a chance of losing our prospect. Just like we talked about with the Pistons, I think it's important to make sure you leave the draft with the guys you really want. Another guy is Nick Richards that they end up taking at 42. I did not have him on my board. Again, that's not a knock on Nick Richards necessarily. I wasn't a huge fan of him, but he's a decent guy. And when you get towards the end of the draft, you can kind of split hairs a little bit. Grant Riller, of course, their last pick, fantastic. And we're looking at the amount that he gets in terms of value. That's 45 points. And they're one of two teams that grabbed four prospects. So you can imagine that no one else did better late in the draft as far as grabbing that fourth guy. So very impressive there. And their total puts them at 112. So very good there. And their 28 is their value as far as the draft average. And actually, the draft average is where they really get hurt. And that's because I do think that they reached a bit on Carey and on Richards. And so that does drop them down to 18th overall when you take the draft average and kind of really value. I think the draft average is nice because what it does is it kind of evens the playing field at least a little bit more. There's not a perfect metric for the way I'm doing this just because when it comes to the total, some teams probably aren't going to be as high as they should be if they drafted like one guy, right? Or maybe they'll be too high on the average because they only drafted one guy. So those are the things that are a little tough to account for when you're doing the math. But I do think overall this is kind of an interesting system and a cool way to just at least get an idea of the valuation that the teams have been given, at least by me. At 7, according to the total, you have the Kings. They drafted Tyrese Haliburton at 12. That gets them 44 points. Tyrese Haliburton, I like Tyrese Haliburton. I don't love him. I had him at 17th. So not a huge difference, five spots. They take Woodard at 40. That gets them 25. So Woodard at 40, I had him close to that. I had him at 36th on my big board. And then you have Jamias Ramsey at 43, and that gets them 18 points for that at 43. And actually, I had Jamias Ramsey at 43 as well. So they actually took him right where I have him ranked on my big board. So that's another guy that we'll call that a feather in my cap, if you will. But so with those picks, they end up 87, which is what gets them in the top 10, of course. And then their average is 29. So if you take a look at how that really breaks down. And by the way, I like their draft a lot. I think the Kings had a really good draft. I think Robert Woodard is a very, very solid prospect. Again, I don't love Haliburton, but I think he's an interesting pickup for them. They already got De'Aaron Fox. Are those two going to be able to play together? I know some people don't necessarily love Haliburton as a true point guard. They want to use him more as an off guard. So that could make some sense there. And Ramsey is a little bit of an unknown, if you ask me. I do think he's got some work to do, but he could end up being a very, very good prospect, and I love taking a chance on him for a young team like the Kings. So again, when you look at them, 87 overall, 29 in terms of average, and the Kings, when you go to the average, they actually drop down a bit, and they drop to 16th overall. So that's when we're looking at the 2020 draft average leaders. All right, next up, taking a look at who is also on this list. Next up at the total, we have behind the Kings, as we move over here, got to go tab by tab. So after the Kings, we do have the Celtics, who had a very, very good draft. Again, for me anyways, I think this draft class is better than most people gave it credit for. And so there's probably some teams that I like more than other people like. But I do like the way they went. Aaron Nesmith, very, very good player. By all accounts, depending on who you ask, best shooter in this draft class. he's up there for me. I mean, he absolutely is. I actually think he's a decent defender, too. There's a lot to like about Aaron Nesmith. I'm very intrigued how he works into that Celtics team. Celtics can be a very good team. Now you're going to add in some good shooting and some decent defense. That's a great pickup for the Celtics. Another case of the rich get richer. And then that gets them. So Nesmith gets them 43 points. I had him as my 18th on my big board. And then next up, Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard is, to me, a very polarizing name, or a guy, maybe not polarizing, but a name that kind of is all over the place. I think some people didn't have him in their top 60. For me, he was right there, right around the first-round grade. I ended up, when all was said and done, I had him at 34, but I do think he was a first-round prospect. I mean, that's just my personal evaluation. Very good shooter, solid defender, good decision-maker, hard worker. There's so much to like about him. And then Jan Madar is who they grabbed with 47. That gets them 14th. And so Jan Madar, they had him, they took him 47. And as far as my personal board, I had my board 48. So I think it's pretty good value there to take him. And again, they are sitting here at 8. So they did make the top 10. And 84 overall total points. And then that drops to 28 when you look at the average. And the Celtics are right there at 17 when you're taking account the average spot. Next up after the Celtics, we have the Wizards. Now, the Wizards, they are going to be a little bit of one of those teams that kind of gets thrown off a little bit. So they have the number one guy on my board, Avdija, and he gets 60 points. But then they have Cassius Winston. I like Cassius Winston. I think he's a really solid prospect. He's a little older, which obviously drops him a bit. I had him 41 on my big board. So they got, a good prospect there. Again, that gets them 20. And then that's all they end up doing in this draft class. The Wizards are interesting. I like the Winston pick more now that they've, well, I can't say that I like it more because they moved on from John Wall, because obviously they picked up Russell Westbrook. That's a really strange roster. I'm glad I'm not a Wizards fan, I guess. Not that they did a poor job in this draft, because they got my favorite prospect. I just have a lot of concerns with that roster and how it's going to end up really working out. Time will tell on that. Their total actually ends up being 80, and then their average is 40, obviously, with only two players, and their combine is 80. All you do is split that in half, and that gives them a nice spot at number 7 on the 2020 draft average leaders. Next up on the list, right after the Wizards, we have the Spurs, who take Devin Vassell, and then they get Trey Jones. Now, Devin Vassell, they took at 11, which is good value. I had Devin Vassell as my 10th prospect on my big board. And then Trey Jones, Minnesota guy, it's tough not to love him. I had him 33 on my big board, so that's very good value to me, getting him at 41. That gets them 28 points there, and they got 51 from Devin Vassell. Pops him over, of course, and that gets them at 79 is their total. 39.5, so a solid average, of course. And so when you take a look at how that actually puts them in the list, that just puts them at 8. So they're one of the guys, they're one of the teams that really sets up on both lists very nicely in that top 10. They don't drop a whole lot. They don't jump a whole lot. I think the system works really, really well in terms of being able to rank them. Next up on the list, we have the Hawks, who take Onyeka Okongwu at pick number 6. That gets them 52. I'm high on Okongwu, but I was not as high as others. I like him. I more than like him. I'm just not in love with him as a prospect like a lot of people, but I think he's a really solid prospect, and I think the Hawks got a good player there. And then they took Skylar Mays at pick 50, which is a very good value for me. That gets them 22 points. Again, I like Skylar Mays. Watch him play. You know, something about him when I watch him sticks out to me. So I had him at 39 on my board. And again, they got him at 50, so that's not bad. That's pretty good value. And so their total that we're looking at would be 74. 74 is where they're sitting with Okongwu and Mays. And again, that puts them at 37 as far as average. So the Hawks actually do move. It's kind of similar to the Spurs, where they're pretty standard right in that right around that 10 spot. They are at pick number 11, or I should say their actual average and their rank is number 11. All right, next up on the list, at the 12th spot, we have the Grizzlies. Grizzlies had a really good draft. They drafted a player that I think is an absolute steal at pick number 30, and that's Desmond Bane. That gets them 48 points because I am high on Bane. I had him 13th on my big board. And then Xavier Tillman, they took him at 35, and that's actually where I had him on my big board. I had Xavier Tillman at 35, so obviously we have similar valuations there. They get 48 points for Bane, and they get 26 for Tillman. So when you move that down the list, of course, that's what gets them at number 12 in the total. And then if you move over 37, and as far as the draft average, based on the number of players and the total points that they have, that puts them, let's take a look here at where it actually gets them. Now, this is a team that the Grizzlies are one of the better young teams, I think, in the league. And now you're going to have, so you got John Morant. You add in Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. You got Jaren Jackson Jr., who apparently has grown, is my understanding, since last season. So on the average, they are 12, and they are on the up and up as far as Western Conference teams, or just in general, young teams. The Grizzlies are going to be a team to watch for. Next up after the Grizzlies, on the total board, we have the Warriors. They grab James Wiseman at number 2, and they grab Nico Mannion at pick 48, and then they got Justinian Jessup at 51. Now, Justinian Jessup, I did not have him ranked, so that only gets him 2 points. Nico Mannion, I think, is a solid pick. Very good value where they took him, and that gets them 24 points there. And James Wiseman gets them 47. Now, Wiseman, I'm not as high as other people. I have him 14th on my big board. When you look at Nico Mannion, what I love about Nico Mannion is very similar to what I loved years ago with DeAndre Jordan. Is grabbing a guy in the second round that early in the season or at some point in the season was projected to be a lottery pick. There were people that were at one point thinking lottery. I'm not saying I was one of those people, but I definitely was higher on him at one point than I am now. And so to get a player like that later on in the draft, I think is very good value. And then Justinian Jessup, if there's a guy you like, you take him, right? That's kind of how that works. Now, James Wiseman, I'm not a big fan of. Again, 14th on my board. I do look at him as a bit of a project, but the Warriors have a need. And the Warriors are a very good team. Now, of course, they've had some unfortunate news since then with the Klay Thompson injury, and he's going to be down and miss the season. But I do think that they're a good team for James Wiseman to go to. Fits a need, and he doesn't need to be like a big player, right? They've got Steph Curry. They've got Draymond Green. They've got Andrew Wiggins. They've got a good system in place for some of these players, and so I think it helps. They are 73 in terms of total, and they are 24.3 repeating. That is what they list at when you do the average. And actually, the Warriors, once you account for the average, they drop quite a bit. They are at 23 as far as average total. So there you go. The Warriors, they were fine. I think they did an okay draft. I don't love the draft, but I like it. That's kind of where I'm at with that. Next up, you have the Nuggets, who have a very solid draft class. They are at 14 here. They grab at 22 Zeke Nnaji, and he gets you 30 as far as where I had him ranked. He's another Minnesota guy. So they took him 30, or sorry, they took him 22 a little sooner than I maybe would have. I had him at 29 on my board, but a very solid prospect. And then they grab RJ Hampton at number 24, and that's actually where I had RJ Hampton. He was 24th on my big board. I really like RJ Hampton. He's one of those guys that has a very high ceiling, but his floor is a little questionable. These are both really good players for the Nuggets to grab. Nuggets are a ready-made team. They are very close, if not already there, in being a team that's going to be a contender for the championship. There's a lot to like about this Nuggets roster, and you add in solid prospects in Nnaji and Hampton, and I do think if they can really add to what they already have there in Denver, that's going to be a really, really good team. All right, so moving down, let's see. We have 67th is their total, and 33.5 is their average. That actually is a pretty decent average. That has them at 13th. So not a huge difference when you're looking at total versus the average as far as the Denver Nuggets are concerned. So another team there, I think that this rating system kind of makes some sense. Next up, you have the Thunder at 15. They grab at 17, they grab Poku, who gets them 46 points. They grab Theo Maledon at 34. That gets them 17 points. And then they get Vit Krejci. And I did not have him ranked. That gets him 2 points. So, again, you add that all up, and that puts them at 15th in terms of total. Now, Poku, I love Poku as a prospect. If you told me you thought he had the highest ceiling in this draft class, I couldn't disagree. I think it's very safe to say he has one of the highest ceilings in this class. I had him at 15th. They got him at 17, so that makes some sense. Theo Maledon, I don't love him. I do think he's one of those guys that'll come into the league and he'll be a career backup. That's just kind of how I see him. I don't see him as having this high ceiling like we talked about with Pokusevski. And then Vic Krejci, I can't say that I know a lot about him. I've not watched him much. Like we talked about earlier, if there's a guy in this draft class and you know you like him, you take him. But 37th, you know, to each their own, I guess. That's not where I would have taken him, obviously. And then we moved on the list here. 65 points total and 21.6 repeating is where we have them as far as the average. And for the Thunder, that puts them at 24. So it's another one of those teams that does drop a bit. Actually, basically almost 10 spots. So I think that really kind of sets the stage a little bit. Next up at 16, you have the Cavs. Cavs are one of those teams that I think they had a fantastic draft. If you go, you just say, look, who did you draft? How good are they? What was the value, right? That's the way I evaluate this. And so they're sitting here at 16, right in the middle in terms of total, because they only drafted one guy. But they drafted the second best prospect on my board. Although I have said this in the past, I do think it's kind of a, you know, Avdija, Okoro Ball are kind of right all in there in that top tier. Same with, I would say Edwards is probably right up there and Killian Hayes. It's tough to say where that top tier really ends for me, because I would say the first eight prospects or so I really, really like. You know, when you're talking the Cole Anthony's, Kyra Lewis, Maxey, Hayes, all those guys I really, really like. So to me, though, Denny Avdija and Isaac Okoro just, they set themselves apart. I guess I would say a little bit. So Isaac Okoro, again, gets them 59 points. It's the only guy they get. But so that's their total, right? 59 points is where they sit with their total. Obviously, their average is going to be the same. And so when you look at their average, when you compare it to other teams, it's kind of interesting because what does it do? It jumps them up to the number one spot, right? That's kind of the way this actually works out. So kind of interesting there. And then you move to... So either way, this is one of the teams. So we talked about how like a team like the Spurs, for example, works out well. When you compare total, when you compare average, it kind of puts them in the same spot. A team like the Cavs, it's just kind of it's tough to really grade, just given they had one prospect. But I would say if you were going to leave this draft with one guy, and if you're the Cavs, there's two things you should do. Number one, you want to get a good player. But number two, don't draft another point guard. Like, just don't do it. And they didn't do it. And that's what's great. And they grabbed a guy that's very versatile and is going to be able to help them out for a long time. And his ceiling is off the charts. If he figures out how to take that jump shot, if he figures out how to make that jump shot, sky is the limit for Okoro, who, in my estimation, is definitely the best defender in this class. But on top of that, one of the better passers in this class, a good ball handler, great decision maker. The Cavs got a winner there. So in this instance, the total does not do them justice putting them at 16. And actually, I take it back, puts them at 15 because when you're using the Excel, it always drops everyone down one spot. Next up, at 16, at the true 16, we have the Pelicans. Pelicans, another team very similar to the Cavs, only one player. But if you're going to grab one player, how about you grab one of the best? And that is Kyra Lewis Jr. I have him as 7. But I've said this before, if when all is said and done, if you told me Kyra Lewis ended up being the best player in this class, that would not shock me. I really like a lot of what he does. Gets them 54 points. And, of course, that's where they're at, right? 54 points puts them at 16. That's what they're going to be. And the average as well is 54 points. When you take a look at where that actually sets them up, just like the Cavs, it jumps them up the list. Puts them at number 2 as far as average. So, again, there's some teams that this system isn't necessarily going to make as much sense for. Although, they had a great draft. That's the one thing we can say. Next up at 17, we have the Raptors. Raptors with a good draft. And the Raptors are one of the best organizations in the league. And so to grab the guys that they did, Malachi Flynn, I'm a big fan of Malachi Flynn. Jalen Harris is a guy that I really got more into as the offseason progressed. And I definitely started moving him up the board the more things kind of went down the list. And so to get the Raptors and to have them grab both those players, I think it's a solid draft. And to be fair, almost anyone they're going to grab is going to be pretty solid because there's such a good development system there and they have such a good staff. Now, Flynn, they took him at 29. And when you're looking at where I actually had him as 26, so not that far off on my big board, and that gets them 35 points there. And then Jalen Harris. Now, Jalen Harris, they took him at 59. And Jalen Harris, I was definitely higher than that on him. I had him at 42. And so that gets them 19 points there. That's how they get to the 17th spot. And 27 is their average. When you take that average, it does change things just a little bit here. So that puts them at 18. So, I mean, very similar to like we talked about with some other teams. It ends up putting them right around that same spot. So it makes some sense. Next up, we have at number 18, we have the Magic. They take just one player again. And if you're going to take one player, how about make it one of the best players in the draft again? And they've done that. Cole Anthony gets them 53 points. They take him at 15. Solid value. This is at, I had him 8th on my big board, and they get him at 15. 53 points. Again, that puts them at 19. And, of course, what does that do? It's going to keep them, surprisingly, let's see. Yeah, so they'd be in third. They're at third is when you're looking at the average. Again, you've got one player, and he's high on my board. It's going to really offset things. But the one thing that's interesting with Cole Anthony, I don't think, first of all, it's a shame he drops to 15. And here's the thing people don't realize. And a lot of draft guys didn't realize this. I would hope teams realized it. And to me, I got to give them credit, right? Teams would know this, I would expect. But in interviews, or at least in one interview I listened to, someone asked the right question, right? And they asked him about his injury, and he said, you know what? I was probably only healthy, like 100% healthy. I think he said 5 or 6 games out of the season. So you put that into perspective, you're not getting a good look at the true Cole Anthony. My understanding is he's healthy now. And if you look back more at the explosive player you got in high school, to me, that's a lot more accurate. I think he's going to be a really solid player. It's unfortunate, I think, for him a little bit that he went to the Magic. That's an organization that just historically, or even recently, just hasn't done that great, I would argue. Of course, you know, the injury bug hurts a little bit too. You know, you lose Jonathan Isaac for the season. That's tough. And so the 2021 season is going to be a little tough for them. Of course, they're fortunate. They're in the East. Everything is always going to be easier in the East. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Next up, at number 19, we have the Chicago Bulls, who went from having, a really good draft, and then you get to pick 44, and you take Marko Simonovic, and I didn't have him ranked. I can't say I've watched a lot of him. To me, it's one of those teams where they saw a guy and they knew they wanted him, but man, it's tough to really look at this and say, great job, right? At least for me. I don't look at the Bulls draft and say, I think they did a fantastic job. I think there's a lot to like. I a bit of a head scratcher for me there, but Patrick Williams is a great pick. Patrick Williams gets them 50 points. I had Patrick Williams as the 11th on my big board, so I mean, I like him a lot. And there was rumors going into draft night that some teams liked him higher than people realized, and there they go, taking him at 4. So for 50 points there, Marko Simonovic, of course, I did not have him ranked. So he just gets them 2 points. That puts them at 52 and then 26. So the Bulls 20th as far as the average is concerned. All right, next up on the total list, we have the New York Knicks, who they had a draft. Can we just say they had a draft? The thing is, I'm not high on Obi Toppin. I'm one of many that are not high on Obi Toppin in the NBA draft sphere. Obviously, teams are higher than him. We knew that going in, that teams were higher on Toppin than, you know, a lot of, let's say, draft Twitter, for example. So they take him at 8. That gets them 36 points. Now, Obi Toppin, I had him as the 25th prospect on my big board. Just not a big fan of Obi Toppin. Offers no defense, and it's not an effort thing. It's one of those issues where he has limitations physically. So it's not something he's going to come on the court and just be able to do it. There's a good chance he might never be a good defender. And then you look at, is he going to be good enough on offense to offset that? And it's going to be tough. Now, he went to the Knicks. That's not going to make it any easier. Another team, we talked about the Magic. On a whole other level, though, are the Knicks. That has been a rough franchise, and I feel for you, Knicks fans. And you're in the East, so you know what? Since you're in the East, I don't mind if you guys get some success. I'm a Wolves fan, so you guys can have some success in the East. We'll have some success in the West, and hopefully things look up for our programs. Then they grab at 25, Emmanuel Quickley. I like him a lot. I think he's a good prospect. I wasn't as high on him as some people. I had him at 46th, although, you know, I had him earlier in, I want to say, the 30s, and I just kind of, when it came down to it, there were other prospects I liked better than him, so I did drop him a bit. But he's a solid prospect. It's them 15 points. So overall, we're talking about 51 is their total, and then that gets them 25.5. And when you look at the 25.5, that puts them at 20th. So the Knicks are 20th on the average. Just a number of, you know, about 10 teams left here, and we start with the Clippers. Grab Daniel Oturo and Jay Scrubb. I mean, seriously, I'm not as biased as some. I think a lot of people in Minnesota are higher on Daniel Oturo than they should be in the modern NBA. But Jay Scrubb, anyone that listens to this show knows what a huge fan I am of Jay Scrubb. And you get him at 55? 55. I mean, there's three prospects, I think, that went in the 50s that absolutely were steals. Jay Scrubb's one of them. We talked about Grant Riller earlier, Paul Reed. Jay Scrubb's right there. And you're adding Jay Scrubb to a talented Clippers team. He's going to help them quite a bit. It just depends on how soon, right? Now, Daniel Turrell is an interesting prospect. He has shown the ability to hit the three, but when I watch him shoot that three, it takes a long time. So I have question marks about him being able to get that off at the next level, and I think that's fair. Now, if he can be just good enough from the three-point line where teams have to respect that, then at least that helps. And so Turrell, and again, it's not like he's some old man, right? If I recall, he's 20 years old right now. He's one of those players that, you know, 20 years ago, Daniel Turrell's going to be one of the top picks. But he slides a bit because there are some question marks as far as Daniel Turrell is concerned. But a hard worker, and I wish him all the success. I'm a big Gopher fan, and anytime a Gopher makes it to the big show, I hope they succeed. So at 33, that gets them 11 points because Daniel Turrell, I had him at 50 on my personal board. And then Jay Scrubb gets them 39 points. They get him at 55, and I had Jay Scrubb as 22. And actually, I had him at one point, I had him higher than that. It just kind of through the process, it made sense to move him down a little bit. But very solid player there. And that puts them, so again, total is at 50, and then they get 25 as far as their average is concerned. I think the Clippers, an already good team, definitely got better when you look at this draft class. And they are 21st on the average board. So next up we have the Heat. Heat, just like we talked about with some other teams, only had one player. And if you're going to grab one player, make it a good one. And I think they did. Precious Achiuwa. Precious Achiuwa was 19th on my board. So that nets them 42 points as far as their total is concerned. So on the total scale, 22, right? You look at the average. Let's see. You look at the average for the Heat, and they actually jump up to 6th. Because, you know, one guy, and he's got a high rating, it's going to make a difference. I like Precious Achiuwa a lot. I know some people really question that jump shot. I've seen enough there where I think it's going to be okay. And you talk about how good he is defensively. He's going to be able to guard multiple positions. Pretty good athlete. I am a huge Precious Achiuwa fan. Really wanted him on the Wolves if it was possible. I'm not going to complain about the draft we had, but I think any team that gets Precious Achiuwa is getting a very good player. Next up at 23, you have the Suns. And I got to be honest, I hate their draft. Not because I dislike the player necessarily. They took Jalen Smith. I'm not a big Jalen Smith fan. You've already got DeAndre Ayton there. Now, granted, they're not the same players. But Jalen Smith, for as much as people want to tell me that he's a power forward, he's not. He is a center. He is just a center. He does not move well. He's a very good center defensively, and he has shown the ability to stretch the floor, hit some three-point shots. These are all great things. But when you talk about a guy like Achiuwa, or you talk about a guy like Jalen Smith, Precious Achiuwa, to me, is 10 times the prospect. That's me personally. But because of that, Jalen Smith only gets them 30 points. They take Jalen Smith 10th. That's the only pick they have in this draft class. I had him 31st. And to me, I just think this is a mistake. Only one, grabbing one guy out of this draft class, and it's Jalen Smith. I don't love the value at pick number 10. And so, again, they're at 23. And then if you go to the average, of course, is going to be, you know, a little higher. That puts them at 14. So, it's a little higher because they just have the one player. But ultimately, I'm not a fan of what the Suns did. I'm sure there's some people that completely disagree with me, and more power to you. I just, for me personally, I think there were better ways to go at pick number 10. Next up, you have the Jazz, another team that I don't love. I don't love the draft they had. They took Azubuike at 27. I had Azubuike at 55. I'm just not sold on Azubuike necessarily. And actually, there's some people that didn't rank him at all. So I don't think at 27, it's tough. To me, it's a bit of a stretch. And that only gets him 6 points. Elijah Hughes, though, is a decent prospect. I like Elijah Hughes. It's very similar to what we talked about with other prospects. I like Elijah Hughes. I don't love Elijah Hughes. So that's kind of where I'm at with him. I had him 45, and they took him at 39. So not a bad value. That gets him 16 points. And so their total, of course, would be 22. That's how they get to this 24th spot. And then 11. As far as the average is concerned, because they did only have two players, and that puts them at 26. I think that's very fair that they would be kind of towards the end of this rating system because I don't think they had a great draft. Pacers up next at 25, and they took Cassius Stanley. You know, I like Cassius Stanley. I think he's one of those players that, you know, has a high ceiling, but the floor is just not there. He's going to have to put in some work. He's going to have to improve. So that's going to take some time. Only gets them 12 points there, which is obviously why they're very low on this list, and he's the only player they got. And then after that, we're just going to kind of quickly go through this. These last few teams, it's mostly just players that, you know, I just really didn't have them ranked. You look at Kenyon Martin Jr. goes to the Rockets. You know, get some 2 points. That's why they're low on the list. The Nets, they take Reggie Perry, another guy I didn't have ranked, and they took him at 57. By the way, Kenyon Martin Jr. went at 52. And then the Blazers round out the list. CJ Ellaby, just a single player, took him at 46. You know, I just another guy that, not that I necessarily don't like him as a prospect, but he wasn't someone that I had ranked. And so to me, you're taking him at 46. To me, that's a bit of a stretch, and that gets them only 2 points. That's why they are low on this list. So that's kind of where kind of things kind of stand as far as taking a look at my big board, how that kind of ranks the teams. Again, the teams that I was really high on, you know, make some sense. The 76ers, it's tough to dislike what they were able to do. Maxey, Joe, Paul Reed, I mean, come on. How could you not love that draft? You look at the Mavs, Green, Tyrell Terry, Tyler Bay. How could you not love that draft? I mean, to me, these are awesome. You have the Timberwolves getting Edwards at number one, Bolmaro, McDaniels, the trades they made on draft night. There are teams that just absolutely did a great job with managing their assets and taking advantage of a class that some people think are weaker, getting spots. What's great about a team like, let's say, the Timberwolves, right? What they were able to do was not only get players that were like top talent, but then you grab a guy like McDaniels who has that really high ceiling, but he also fits a need. They don't have a power forward of the future. Is he going to play small forward? How are they going to use him? Sky's the limit for some of these teams with what they were able to do with their classes, and I really, really like it. As I like to say, time will tell on who really wins and loses this. You know, I'm not a big fan of when people do draft grades. I will say this. I like to read about draft grades, but ultimately they're worthless when you're making these draft grades right after the draft. Now, again, we sit here, and here I am ranking these based on my boards, but again, I'm not gonna necessarily grade these teams and say, like, you failed, right? I might not agree with your pick. I might not agree with your valuation, and same with some of the other shows on our network, some other draft shows out there. I might not agree with your evaluation. I might think that you're way off base, or maybe you think I'm way off base. That's what's great about the draft, is that everyone, you could have 10 different people watch the same prospect, and they could all come away with a different opinion. That's what's so cool about this. So there you have it. That's kind of where we're at with that. Now I want to jump a little bit into the 2021 draft class, specifically talking about kind of what we've seen early on from this class and this college season. All right, so the two things I really want to touch on if we're talking about the 2020-2021 season, which is well underway at this point. We've had a lot of really good basketball games. Unfortunately, as I'm recording this, we just got some unfortunate news that arguably the biggest game we've had so far this year, Gonzaga-Baylor, was just canceled due to COVID concerns. So that's unfortunate, and it's not going to be the first. It's the first really big game, and it's probably not going to be the last. Obviously, in America, we're having some, you know, surging COVID numbers, and that's going to have an effect on college basketball, just like it did on college football. It had a major impact on college football. So now the good news is for college basketball, it's obviously you're dealing with a lot less players. And so it's going to hopefully be a little easier to contain any issues. And hopefully there will be less issues just because you're not dealing with such a large amount of people in terms of roster size in college. But again, this is an unfortunate thing, but probably not really necessarily unexpected. And the key is going to be how they manage issues such as this. And obviously the health and safety of the players is first and foremost over watching a college basketball game. I love college basketball. I love basketball in general. But again, it's just a game, and there are more important things. So that's what you want to keep in mind when stuff like this happens. So as we're diving in quick, there's two players I really want to touch on. And then I do want to mention just a couple other guys that have jumped off the page. One name that's been really, really hot to watch, and thankfully he did not have a serious injury like we initially thought, and that is Jalen Suggs. He has been absolutely fantastic for Gonzaga. He would have been the guy we really would have wanted to watch. I mean, among others. But that was a guy that I really anytime Gonzaga's going to play, I'm going to watch because I really like to watch him play. And he's, you know, top five prospect, I think, pretty much unanimously. Some people probably have him as high as two. I would say I probably have a two right now behind Cade Cunningham is probably where I am sitting with him. So he's a fun prospect to watch. But the specific two guys I really want to touch on today, just briefly, just to get them on everyone's radar, are Jason Preston from Ohio. I think he has been fantastic. And if you have not heard his story, I strongly suggest that you pay attention. You can go on YouTube, look up Jason Preston, look up story, I think. And there's a lot of people that have made videos based on kind of how he got to where he's at. But it's pretty impressive. You know, a guy that really didn't score much, didn't do a whole lot in high school, really ended up quitting basketball as he went to college, wasn't planning on playing in college, ended up going the AAU route, just had a friend that was like, hey, you should play. He played, he impressed some people. He moved on to a higher level of basketball, impressed on a C team, and then from there he actually was able to get his big shot because he made himself, that's right, he made his own highlight tape, put it online, it went viral, and he got a couple D1 offers, one of which is where he's at right now, and that is Ohio University, so the Ohio Bobcats. Now, for anyone that's not aware of Jason Preston, you're missing out. For number one, he was in one of the best games I've seen all season. Probably my favorite game to watch so far this season was when he played Illinois. Now, the downside to Jason in Ohio is they don't have a lot of big-time games. The conference that they're in, they just don't have the opportunity to play a lot of top schools. So this, you know, this game they just had against Illinois could arguably be, depending on the tournament and all that stuff, this could be their biggest game of the year. And absolutely, he shined. He shined. He is such a fantastic player. Offensively, he has so many different skills. His change of pace as far as dribbling is very impressive. He's a good finisher. He has this really interesting shot he likes to go to where he jumps, and he shows off his athleticism where he jumps, and he kind of hangs in the air, and it's not a pump fake, but it's almost like, or it's an interesting shot the way he puts it up, and if you watch for it, he kind of hangs, and he holds off, and he's able to, that pause gives him that much more time to get a shot off. He is able to make some really difficult shots. A good finisher, has been so far this season a very good three-point shooter. Now, if you look at his numbers for last season, he was number two in all of college basketball for total assists. I mean, that's not a fluke, right? I mean, on the season, he had 237 assists, so he had a 2.01 assist to turnover ratio. So, I mean, you'd like less turnovers. I think that's very fair. But he's also proven to be a decent rebounder. He had 206 rebounds last season, 70 steals. So I believe he averaged, if I recall, it was like 1.5 or 1.6 steals. So I'm not saying that the guy's a lights-out defender, but he's a decent defender, and he really works hard on that end, and he works hard just in general to get to where he was at. A guy that's going to put together his own highlight film, who's going to work hard and do what he can to improve his game and put his game out there, I think is very impressive. And it's a really cool story. Again, I would take a look at that. But a fun prospect to watch. It's been a little tough because not a lot of the Ohio games have been televised, but any of them that are, I promise you want to watch them. It's definitely worth your time. Now, the second guy that I do want to mention briefly, and we'll touch on these guys more as the season goes on just because they're two players I really, really like. And this is a guy that I don't think is necessarily on NBA radars as of yet, although he's a big name just in terms of fans, and that is Mack McClung. Mack McClung rose to fame with his really cool highlight videos, but also his dunking ability and made a lot of YouTube highlight film, and they talk about it actually in his most recent game. So he actually just played last night. They had a blowout victory, and they actually touched on that quite a bit, how that was kind of how his rise to fame started, was with dunking videos. But he's actually improved a lot in terms of other areas. So one of the reasons, so he was actually at Georgetown to start his career. He's now a junior. He's in his third season, and he transferred to Texas Tech. And one of the reasons he did that is because he was hoping that working with that coach, they could really fine-tune his game, make him work a little harder, and he could be a more efficient player, because that's been the biggest knock on him, is that he just isn't very efficient as far as offensively. But you watch him this year. a very good passer, a fantastic athlete, and he was on fire last night from three. Finished the game with, I believe, 20 points, and actually would have had a lot more than that, but number one, in the second half, he didn't really look for his shot as much because they were up by so much. So he did a lot more of a facilitating role as opposed to an offensive and scoring role. But on top of that, they were up by so much, he didn't play a lot at the end of the game. So very impressive game. If you have not been watching Texas Tech, last I checked, they were 14th in the country. Now, they did have a loss recently to Houston. Houston is a very good team, though, so keep that in mind. Well, when you think about it's not a bad loss. That is a loss that you take with, you're not upset when you lose to really good teams. That's the way I look at it. So that's the other guy that I really want to touch on briefly. We're running out of time here. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Robin Hoop. This has been Nothing But Net on Dash Radio. And until next time,
with the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft.
With the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft.
With the first pick in the Orlando Magic.
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.